Okay, anybody else?
Racine.
Who's from Madison? Raise their hand. Awesome. I tell you, you guys got great fishing out here. I drive out here, I will usually bring my volunteers that help me when we take the kids fishing out here because it's so fun. I personally would like to see a 15-fish panfish limit out here because I think these lakes are just amazing. You know, Lake Mendota, Monona, I mean, you guys got a great fishery out here. I come out here, I catch perch, walleye, bass. I remember one time we were fishing bluegills in deeper water, and guess what we ended up catching? Legal walleyes. The one thing to understand in Madison is you need to read the fish regulation books, especially for walleye. A walleye in Mendota has to be 18 or better. A walleye in Monona only needs to be 15 or better. So, you know, a lot of stuff, you know, I learned, but I love it out here. When I was 16 years old and actually got my driver's license, yeah?
Question on that, I'm not a fisherman, but why is that difference in the length from one lake to the other?
They're trying to make trophy fisheries, or they're just trying to protect what resources are in that lake. I live on Lake Wolf, an angler educator. I'm trying to make people better at fishing, be it young, be it old, just trying to get out there. Facebook, I reach about 8 million people a year all across the world, which is so cool because I'm not really sharing pictures of the fish I catch. I'm sharing how I caught them. And, you know, and that's my mission. So I think what I'm going to do is just go through this since we got most of the people here because, you know what, I forget what I'm supposed to do talking about myself. So I do live on Green Bay, Lake Winnebago. I love fishing Green Bay for big walleyes. I mean, and I did catch a big walleye. My biggest walleye to date is 33 and a quarter, and it got certified at 13.12. That is a monster of a fish. I said I was never going to mount anything until 34, but somebody says, hey, you get a nice fish, we're going to mount it for you because of what you do for youth. And so we're going to actually show you that a little bit later. Today, very important for me. This is my 500th fishing event. I have taught over 100,000 kids fishing, so pretty cool. My largest walleye in Lake Winnebago, 29 and a half. And we've caught a few 29 and a half. It just seems like we can't get that 30-incher. So, you know, one other thing is learn to fish with us. So that's my nonprofit, is learn number two fish with us. It'll be in your books. Go out there, you know, follow us on Facebook, you know, like us because that helps. I mean, if we don't have these sponsors here, we can't host all these events for kids. You know, we need help, and through personal donors and sponsors, we've done this for 21 years. So that's pretty cool. I think we're ready to go, right, Karen? Okay, I'll let you come up. I think you can get to know the person you go fishing with so much better. I've learned so much thing. You know, and the other big thing, you know, this week, you know, we lost one of our board members. So that was tough, you know. And, you know, and this is, you know, this is like pretty important, you know, to be hosting events like this. So, you know, sorry about that, but, you know, he was with us for a long time. And he actually passed in the water, so, you know. So just to let you know. But we're gonna have fun. I just wanted to take a little minute and respect, you know, Rick. Okay, I got through a tough part. So.
Gosh, it's so great to see so many of you here.
Thanks for the excellent. Thanks for the timing. I needed that, I think. Okay, we're going to get rolling. You know, first thing I cover when we're talking about fishing, it's got to be safety. You know, like I said, you know, Rick passed, he drowned, you know, from a riptide. So very important, and it just goes to show that, you know, this is huge. When I'm fishing by myself, I make sure to be wearing an inflatable. One thing to note, this is an inflatable, very comfortable to wear, and most of the time, even at 90 degrees, because this is a very comfortable one, so when you do buy one, you want to make sure you try it on, make sure it's very comfortable. Even walk through the store a little bit just to feel, is this good? Because once you get a good one like this, if I accidentally fall overboard, this is going to inflate to be this big automatically. So I do love these. The one thing to note though, if you have this in your boat, you must wear it. It cannot be considered a life jacket for a person unless it's being worn. It can be in there as a backup, but just so you guys know that. Then we have our traditional life jacket. Youth that are under 13 must wear a life jacket when in a boat. You know, the other thing is you got to have a life jacket for everybody in the boat. I like keeping mine on the chairs in the boat, you know, most of the time this way because it's very comfortable. But if they're not, make sure, kids, you ask the boat owner, where are the life jackets, you know, if you're older, because a boat goes down sometimes pretty quick and you want to make sure that you know where everything is. You want to come up and try it on? You going to be my model? Come on up here. I won't bite. Come on. There you go. Thank you. So we want to always make sure, here, get your hair out. And then what we want to do, if you want to, can you snap the top one? Just make sure, yeah, you don't do that, because I already got some hair stuck in a snap. What you want to do is make sure everyone is snapped all the way up and down. You want to make sure it's snug. Not tight, but snug. Are you comfortable? That's the big thing, because if you're going to wear it all day long, you want to make sure it's comfortable. Perfect. Thank you. Can you do that one? There you go. Good job. So make sure that there's a life jacket. Next is a throwable. Another thing that is required in a boat is a throwable. This, it can be used as a seat cushion, but you want to be able to toss this. And once you get it, put your arms in there and just float till we can get close to you. You know, with all the fishing I did, captaining and everything, I would save two people's lives with this because I could get to them, you know, once I gave them something to float with. Okay, when we go fishing, believe it or not, we get double-digit sun. We get the sun that's coming down. You get the sun that bounces a sheep pair because at least we're protecting the eyes from the sun. The other thing is, my little fish right here, Lake Winnebago, I told you I fish really shallow. Well, believe it or not, sometimes when I fish weeds, I can actually see a fish swim. So I'll see a walleye, I'll see actually a white tip on the tail swim, and I'll know it's a walleye. And it goes into the weeds. But because these are polarized and they're wraparounds, I can easily see those fish. Why do you think, what else? Barb. So hey, any kids? You guys named Barb? Parents? Grandparents? Barb? Oh, you know grandma or something that has Barb? I'm just checking. You know, I did have a couple kids that said grandma is named Barb. But this barb is very important because we're going to talk about setting the hook and catching a fish. A fish is going to bite. You're going to see a nibble. You're going to set that hook. That barb is going to keep the fish on as long as you keep your line tight. If you let go, if you let it loose, sometimes that barb will go free, fish will swim off, and then you go, oh boy. But that barb also means if this goes in your hand, guess what? It doesn't come out really easy. So you most likely got to go to the hospital. So just to let you know, be careful. If you feel a prick, stop. Don't do anything because it might be in the backyard and we go for 2 minutes and we see who can catch the most fish. We learn how to catch 2, 3, 4 fish at once. But believe it or not, if I'm fishing, I'm using this because this is so easy to use. I'm not going to have line tangles. The other thing is people ask, what is that dial at the top? There's a reason I want you to sit in the front row. You're going to be my big fish. So grab on that thing and hold it hard. If I don't do something, what is going to happen? What's going to happen? I could break. I couldn't break my Lady Ugly stick. This is a Lady Ugly stick that is so awesome. But I could break my rod, but I could lose the biggest fish of my life. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to turn that dial to the negative, because it should have a plus or negative. And now I can let that fish go and run and play them. And as the fish tires out, I can increase the drag and reel them in. So that is so important to catching the big fish. Excellent. Okay, how does this work? We're going to show you how to stop. So if you're ever going at a tree, a person, stop it by pressing that button. You let go of the button, line goes out. Now the big thing is, once you cast, you got to hear that. You hear that click? That click means the reel's engaged and you can set the hook. We're going to talk about setting the hook a little later, but if you press your button and you forget to set it, you go to set the hook, look what happens. The line comes out. You won't catch a fish that way. So you cast it, and we're going to talk about casting a little bit later. Another big thing is, if you ever have a lot of slack line, make sure to put your finger there so you keep the line tight and reel it in. Okay, so now we're going to talk about the next one up. The next one up is a spinning combo. See the line? This is what makes this more difficult to use. But then you go, why do you use it? Because we can cast so much further. There is no, I don't know what, I'm trying to think of what the word is. It's not attached to anything. All it's doing is going through the line, you know, through the guides. Where here, we're going through the cover. And it's the same thing. I had a guy come up and ask me about a bait caster. He's like, why is everybody casting jigs and everything with this versus a bait caster? And I said, it's because of the friction that comes out of it coming out of the bait caster. So here, a little bit different, pressing the button, open the bail. Line goes out, turn the handle, line comes in. We got a drag either on the front or the back. One thing that we're not seeing on new reels coming out is the back reel switch. But we have never had a barb go through skin. It's gonna happen. You know, it's surprising it hasn't happened yet, but it's because we think of the method that we're teaching them on how to do this. So what we're gonna do is point the rod at your target. So you want your rod tip at the target, press the button firmly. If you don't press the button firmly, that's what's gonna happen. So get used to it. Press that button firmly, look behind. We're gonna go to, this is 2 o'clock. 10 o'clock. Oh, and I hit a fish on the head. I got to do that again. So you're going to probably hit up here. So we're going to go back. This is 10 o'clock? 2 o'clock. 10 o'clock. See how straight that goes? Now I click it. If I want my bait, what did I catch? What did I catch? A crappie. We're going to talk about all the different fish. Now I'm going to ask for a volunteer. You really want to do this? Okay. Wow. You ready? Okay. This is what's so cool. Is this going to be your first time you cast? Oh, mom's going to help. Uh-oh. Come over here. I won't bite. I promise. So you're going to put your hand here. Mm-hmm. Okay, we're going to put the right thumb on here. And we're going to go over your shoulder, look behind you, because we don't want to hook mom or dad. We're going to go back, and then we're going to release the button. Are you ready? Oh, okay, we're going to try it again. Oh, no, we're going to get it a little bit. Okay, so press the button again.
Press the button.
So we got to go there. Hold the button. We're going to go over, and then we're going to let go.
Wow!
Okay, hon, move it over.
Lucy, go by daddy. Okay.
Here, I'm going to get a little better toss here. Okay, turn that handle. We got to get it to click. Okay, so now what we're going to do, right there. Okay. Yep, got to go slow here. This is what I love about backyard bass. The only way you're going to catch these fish is to have a good cast past it. You can't go across it. Yep, so go a little more that way. There you go.
Now we got
it. So reel. Keep that rod tip up. And the cool thing is, this is actually what a fish is going to fight. That rod is going to be bending all the time that fish is coming in. Keep reeling. Oh, wow. It looks like the crappies are biting today. There's some walleyes out there, but I'm thinking, oh, look at that. She caught a walleye by hand. Okay, we're going to keep moving on. In the crease of my pointy finger, I bring the finger to the rod, I open the bail, and everything else is going to be the same. Look back. The one thing that's going to happen is this finger is going to point towards the fish as I cast. Okay. Let's see. Okay, today's a good day. Oh, look at that. Oh, back reel switch is still on. What did we catch now? What? What did we get? You know what it, what is it? A bluegill. Bluegill. You can say it. Say it loud. Bluegill. Say it like you own it.
Bluegill.
There you go. Bluegill. And what I love about bluegills, and we'll talk about it, bluegills can be purple, green, blue. You know, that's what's so cool about a bluegill. You never know what color you're going to catch. Okay. Who has never casted with a spinning combo? You ready? Do you fish? Okay, this is a tough one. Spinning combo is really tough. It took me a long time to learn it. Okay, so now what you're going to do is you're going to go over your shoulder, and then you're going to let go of the line forward. Whoa! Okay, so now you're going to turn the handle. Turn the handle closes the bail, and it requires a little strength. Okay, let's see. We got to go that way. Go really slow. Oh, yeah. Let's try. Let's see if we can get two. Oh, keep reeling. Keep reeling. What do you think you caught? You don't know? Okay, let's see. Oh, we got another one. What is that? You know what that is? Anybody know what that is? What is that?
Perch.
Perch. Very good. Oh, who likes perch? Oh, yeah. We all love perch. Who loves walleye? Oh, yeah, look at all those hands. Okay, way to go, bud. Way to go. Give him a hand. Which is really nice. So all you got to do is remove this nut, and you can flip it to either side. So that's what's really nice. Another thing I just want to point out, if you are a righty, the right hand should hold the rod. The left hand should turn the handle. And that's because the smartest hand is the right hand. So that's what we want casting. This hand, guess what it does? Do you think you need to have a smart hand to just do that? No. So I want to try to make sure that if you're a righty and you're doing it the left-handed method, change it now while you're young. Okay. If you were going out fishing with us today, a sinker to get the bait down to the fish. And then what we like too, this is called a long shanked hook. This is a true turn, so it's specially bent. I think it helps me catch a lot more fish. But we like a long shanked hook when we take kids fishing, because if the fish takes it in a little further, you got a lot more hook to grab onto to get out. You see that? That's called setting the hook. And that's what's gonna allow you to get that barb into the fish's mouth. And if you keep your line tight, you'll be able to get the fish in. So, bobber goes down. What are we going to do, everyone? Yell it out. Bobber's down? Did you guys just get up? Come on, bobber's down! Set the hook. If you see your bobber start going duh-duh, duh-duh, and start swimming off, what are we going to do? Set that hook, because the fish has it. The fish did is it grabbed it and it swam up with it, so it took all the weight off the bobber, so it went sideways. If we see our bobber bounce around and stops, what are we going to do?
Set the hook.
We are going to be patient. We're going to wait, because you know what we got? We got a nibbler. And we got to wait till he decides to commit and either takes the bobber down. This is called a hook keeper. So they got one next to the reel, And they also have two slots here. Sometimes it's up here, and that's very important. For kids, these are most of the time fiberglass eyelets. And if you keep putting the hook in the fiberglass eyelet, you will chip it. When it gets chipped, it gets sharp. So guess what happens when you get a big fish on? Cut your line. So very important to use the hook keeper. Okay, guess what? I told everybody that Mr. Fish Pond guy gave me two tickets. So somebody's gonna get a ticket to actually go fishing in the trout pond for answering this question. Hopefully I don't have to give you tips. If you've come to my clinics before, you're gonna know the answer. This is called a slip bobber. You see how it slides?
Yeah.
That little pink rope right there, string, that is called the stopper. And you see how I kept it long like that? It's so I can consistently tighten it. As I slide the bobber knot up and down, it'll loosen. So by keeping, maybe not that long, but by keeping it somewhat, I can pull it every single time. And that'll be the stopper. I also like always having a barrel swivel, because if something happens to my bobber, I want to change it, I can just cut the line, change the bobber, or if something happens down here, all I have to do is fix this. So that's a nice thing of having a swivel. When I fish with bobbers, I always have attractor beads or spinners on there. You see that? Every time I fish with a hook, I have a bead. If I'm fishing bluegills, perch, it's an attractor bead. This rig is set up for minnows, hence the red. It's because blood. That's why with minnows, it has blood. I got another big question. It's going to be very big for the state of Wisconsin, so you'll have your chance. Good luck trout fishing. I'm going to be in this room, so I want you to come back if you catch one. You what?
I've never caught a trout.
Well, you're hopefully going to catch a trout now. And we're going to give you a hat. And it's yellow, so I'll know where he is. Okay, moving on. We're not going to talk much, because I'm going to talk a lot more about this at 2 o'clock. This is called the jig. The weight, the hook, it's all one. When the line goes to the bottom, you see how it went slack? When I lift it up, it goes tight. So this is called jigging, and this is when we're targeting fish near the bottom. We're bobbers. Give me the old zero, everybody. Come on, zero. Everybody, parents, get your hands. If you can't cast it at fish, you ain't gonna get them. Okay, so we're gonna get a zero. But if you can cast to them, you can catch them. The other thing goes to if you cannot do a knot. I can tell you one thing at your age, even older, if somebody would have just told me how to tie a knot, I know I would have caught more bigger fish because I kept losing them. I used the square knot and just kept tying square knots. Terrible knot. The first knot here, I know that this is an easy knot. Why? I had a kindergartner that was at school, went home, showed grandma how to tie it. Pretty impressive. You know, it's amazing what you guys can come out and learn. So all you gotta do is put your line through the hook eye. Then we're gonna twist this 7 or 8 times. True, you can't do this with the hook, but all you gotta do is twist it. And now all we gotta do is take the line's end through the loop by the hook eye. Before we do anything, wet it. We're going to pretend we're spitting on it. And that's it. That is called a clinch knot. See how nice it is? You want to make sure that it goes all the way up the line. But this is going to be a good knot. But if you're fishing a lot and you're fishing for big fish, I'm going to show you the other one. Who wants to do this knot? Come on up, buddy. I won't bite. And you're the superhero. Okay, I'm going to hold the hook. Let's face this way. So what are you going to do? Go through there. Excellent. Now what are you going to do? There you go. Yep. And just keep doing that. Nope. You're going to do this 7 or 8 times. There you go. Twist it like that. Beautiful. Okay. That's good. Now what are you going to do? Where are you going to put that end through? You were doing it before, just right. Yep, just do it. There it is. Beautiful. You did that all on your own. So now I want you to grab this and pull with that. Okay, show them. Raise this up and show everybody. Did you do a good job? Yeah, you did. Way to go, buddy. Excellent. See, this is what it's all about. I love it. Very cheap. So you use a lot of line. So now what we're going to do is we're going to do more like an overhand knot. So you see how I got that overhand? Then I'm going to bring the loop through, bring the hook through, and believe it or not, does that knot look like it's anything special? No. But this is one of the strongest knots on the market. So, and he had his hand up so fast. Have you ever tied a palm or not? Okay, so that's even better yet. Good luck. So just knowing it does take time sometimes to actually do this. So you ready? Okay, they're back. They ain't going anywhere, but they ain't gonna swim on their own. When we hook them with bobbers, we like to hook them in the back or hook them in the middle. And you want them swimming. If a minnow is not swimming, you are not gonna catch as many fish as if it was swimming. Because that fish comes up, checks it out and says, oh yeah, that looks like a meal. And it'll eat them. The reason we hook them in the back, typically if they're hooked in the back, they swim up. You hook them in the back dorsal or middle dorsal, they swim like this, nothing special. But if you hook them in the back by the tail, they'll swim up. And what fish will do is typically come from underneath and hit them from underneath. And that's why if it looks like it's, have one other bait that I haven't talked about. It's the leech. That leech is slimy. It sucks onto you. But that leech catches so many fish. Walleyes love leeches. So what it does, it's swimming around like this and its tail is just flinging around. So when we hook a leech, there's a suction cup right there on the fat part of the leech. And what we're doing, we're hooking it, swimming around. Okay, another great bait is artificials. So I got worms, I got leeches, I got minnows. Many ask, why wouldn't you just use live bait? Well, because you guys can smell it already. Okay, does it smell? So if I had a night crawler with you and I had you smell the crawler versus smelling this, they can smell this so much further away. So that's a reason we love using artificials. And just think, if I just open this bag. I remember I opened this bag 2 years ago. A little kid grabbed and got all the stuff out of there. Mom came back at my 2 o'clock seminar and says, my kid stinks. So, okay, the other thing I love talking about is crankbaits. Look at all the hooks we have. These are called treble hooks. So they have three sort of hooks on one. But you see how the small this beak is? This means it only goes down in the water 4 to 6 feet. That big bill, this will actually go 20 feet down in the water. Crankbaits are used to cast them. So we cast them out. We reel them in. What does that look like?
Swimming.
Looks like it's a swimming and it's a fish, right? I've already had fish rip the rod out of my hand. The other reason we love crankbaits, if you're on a bobber and it's just sitting there, that fish can go, do I want to eat it? Do I not want to eat it? Do I want to eat it? Do I not? Well, guess what? If this bait comes by them, do they got that time to think that? They got a half a second to think, do I want to eat it? So they'll rip the rod out of your hand. Okay, we're gonna first do this. What do you think's in the box? I haven't brought this guy out in a while. I brought him out yesterday because we were talking to walleye fishermen. And then walleye fishermen know, is it a big walleye or not?
Is it?
Look at that fish. You see that? Is this a big walleye, everybody?
Yes.
It is a monster. 13.12 pounds in August. A summertime monster. But look at those teeth. Look at that. What makes a walleye so cool? It's got its teeth. It's got its gill plate. Believe it or not, this will cut our hand. So we got to be very careful around a walleye. But look at those eyes. You see those eyes? Those eyes can see at midnight like we see right now. They take what little light there is and they can see just like we do. We got the big fins. A walleye has scales. So feel, you feel the scales on it?
Ooh.
Yeah, so that's what protects them. But that is what's so cool about a walleye. And we're gonna put them back in a box. It's really cool, he made me in this nice box. This thing is actually like 10 years old. He sits on my mantle, but I would rather bring him out to show people. Okay, let's talk about some other fish. Bluegill. Black spot, blue around its gills, very tasty. But you know what? This bluegill is orange looking. I caught bluegills that are pinkish, purplish. That's why I like going to different lakes, because I just never know what is the color of the bluegill. A bluegill has a mouth that big. It is really dinky. So you got to be quick at the trigger. That bobber goes down, that bluegill could go pulling the bait and spit it out right away. So you got to be really quick with bluegills. Perch, same thing. They got a gill plate cover, going to be sharp. They got bars that go up and down. Pretty big mouth. But look at the orange fins on the belly. That's what I love about a perch. And you go up the Green Bay, oh, they really got orange bottoms. And who loves perch? We love perch. Very easy to flay. A lot easier than a bluegill. Then we got the crappie. What do you think this is on a crappie? Their mouth. They have a big mouth. But you know what else is cool about a crappie? Look at those fins. You see how big those fins are?
Yeah.
What happens when a fish has big fins?
Swim fast.
Swim fast, but they got a big fight because they're going like this, trying to get off, trying to make sure you don't get them in. That's what's so cool about big fins. You see that eye right there?
Yeah.
That eye is almost like a walleye. They like to bite in the evening and the morning, and that eye allows them to bite at night because they can take what little light there is. Look at the evil eye. A red eye. One of the very few freshwater fish that have a red eye. It is the rock bass. Where do you think they hang out? Rocks, right? You don't even know they're down there. So if you come across rocks, drop your line down there and see if you can catch a few because they're great at fighting. The old white bass. The little white bass, look at those fins on the top, spiky-ish. So these fish fight awesome. They're all right tasting. When you got walleye and perch, well, white bass is all right. Catfish, right? Or bullhead. But the one thing to note is you see those fins at the top and the side? Those can prick you and it can hurt. But guess what? It's only really when the fish is small. If the fish is this big, they're all worn down, you're not gonna get hurt. Why do you think I got Mr. Carp on here? Why do you think I have carp? Do you think I eat them?
No.
But I have a fight, right? You get a 3, 5, 20 pound carp, you just want the fight. You don't care if you're gonna eat them or not. So those are panfish. Most of the time you can keep an aggregate of 25. You know, here we really need to look at the game fish manual because lakes are different for sizes, seasons. So you need, oh, wow. I should have read that. This is the game fish. Okay, believe it or not, one thing I'm going to teach you, I think it was like 15 years ago, a kid showed me a difference in the two bass. Largemouth bass, smallmouth bass. I always knew the difference about the stripes going up and down versus going sideways, horizontal. So that's the way a Warden would typically look. Some kids said, I can tell by the size of the mouth, because you can see how close does that jawline go to the gill. So if it's really close, it probably is a large mouth. Where here, if it's more than halfway, it's probably a small mouth. But then the kids said, there's another way, Captain Greg. I can look at the top fin. And that was the first time that I really saw that. Not connected, connected. You know, so you can look at the top fin when it's flipped in and easily see it. Then look at these two. We got the walleye and the sauger. They almost look the same. Their blotchiness makes a big difference on Lake Winnebago, because I can keep three walleyes, but I can only keep one sauger. So if I have one sauger, I can keep two walleyes. So I need to tell the difference between the walleye and that. You can sometimes tell by the blotchiness, but if I'm a game warden, what am I going to look at? Anybody know the difference? Come on up. No, come on up. We'll do this together. I won't. Come on up. We're going to work together. No? You can do it. Come on. Give her a hand. Okay. Do you see any difference? Come on. Come in here. You're going to teach them. So look at this fish and look at this fish. What do you see as different? The white tip, very good, but there's another reason. The white tip is very good, but what's up with the top fin? What do you see in the top fin?
The bottom one has
polka dots. What we're going to do, and I love that you said dots, but we're going to say spots, because spots starts with?
S.
And what does sauger start with?
SS.
So if it has spots on the top fin, it's a sauger. No spots on the top fin, it's a walleye. Way to go! Give her a hand, that's impressive. The funny thing is, you see that white tip on the tail? It's at the bottom of the tail, but believe it or not, when you see the fish swimming down and you're looking down in the water, you can actually see that white spot, which is really hard to believe. We got the northern, and we got the muskie. I'm gonna flip this over because my next question is about Wisconsin. Northerns have sharp teeth, they have white spots. Muskies are green, sometimes they'll have tiger spot, you know, tiger stripes. I have a muskie on the wall, 52.5 inches, 38.5 pounds. And I caught it with 6-pound test on a little bait that big. Sometimes big fish want big baits. This is the ticket for this question. And I really, after everybody leaves, this is the one thing I really want you to remember. What is so important about a muskie in the state of Wisconsin? Come on up, baby, you got her. Where did you learn that?
My father.
Your father, good job. Here, come on, here, you got a hat too. Even though I'm running warrior, you're going to get a Triton boat hat. Give her a hand. That is impressive. Okay. For everybody, what is so important about a muskie in Wisconsin?
Safety.
Oh, no. I'm not. No free rods. It's our
safety.
Very good. Okay. I'm doing one public announcement because I believe this is so important. And I follow this every time I go fishing. For one, it's the law. But we got to make sure that we take all the weeds off our boats, boat trailers, and everything. We want to make sure you don't transport it somewhere else. Because let's say you go to your vacation place, never had weeds in the lake. You take that one weed, you might come back next year and it's going to be full of weeds. So just make sure to clean the boat. The other thing is, if you are with a boat, pull your drain plugs, because there's zebra mussels and everything in that water. We want to make sure we don't spread water from one body to the next. And the same thing goes. When I was a kid, the first thing I did, I filled my bucket a lot better that way, because, you know, the big thing is we can't transport water. If you don't do this stuff at the boat launch and you do get caught, it's probably, I think it's like $250 fine. So just want to do this, but the main thing is keeping these lakes great for these kids. Did you guys have fun today?
Yeah.
Are you ready for a free fishing combo and hook?
Yes.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay, we're gonna get a single, do a single file line, hand your tickets to us, and then you're free to go. I will be in here all morning, so if you have any questions, you wanna go everything I taught, I will be here to teach you. Okay, I'll be right there. Okay, we're all ready. Okay, so just what we'll do is have you guys just throw your ticket on the table. You're gonna grab a book, and then I'll give you a rod. Yep, just throw it down there. Grab a book. Here, grab a book. You ready for your rod? Okay, just throw that down. Take a book. Take a book. Take pictures. I'll get this. I'll get this. Yep.
Thank you.
Oh, cool. What's his name?
I don't know.
Yep, just here, let me steal this. Here, there you go. You got a book right here, ma'am. Okay, there you go. I want to get these out of here first. Book. There you go. You want to take that book over there? What? Okay, they're good. They're good. There you go. There's a book over there. So grab a book then. Yep, grab a book. Just hold the rod because it might slip out. There you go. Yep, grab a book over there. There you go. You just throw it over there and grab a book. Just throw it over there, grab a book. There you go, grab a book over there. There you go.
Thank you very much.
Yep. There you go.
Give me, I got your book.
Oh, blue one. Yeah, yeah.
What do you say?
Thank you.
There's a book over there.
You want to grab a book?
Thank
you. Yep. I just got to... This one. There you go. Here, there's a book right over there then. There you go. Just throw that tag right over there. No, no spinning. What? Oh yeah, you got two tags? There you go, there's the books. Just throw the ticket over there. There you go, yep. There you go.
Thank you.
Thanks for being a good teacher.
Thank you. There you go, just, there you go, right there, there.
Ezra, what stuff do you want? A little one or a big one?
that one.
Okay.
I'll take this.
What name are we putting in there for you?
Can you do two?
I can put as many as you'd like.
All right, Ezra is one name.
Ezra?
Yep, E-Z-R-A.
I can take that.
And then the other name is Ariah. And I'll spell that for you. A-R-A-I-A-A.
There you go.
Go fishing for fun.
All right.
You want that in a bag or you want to just carry it?
We'll take probably a bag for it. That would be good.
Let me give me the fish. And then you get to carry the bag.
You're welcome.
Oh, he already stamped your card.
Yes.
So we'll put that in here.
There you go.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
You going to help carry? Everything I got out of the line. Could have been different, but come around to you later.
Okay.
Cut into the boat fund.
The lip on it. It's not in the slot, so it doesn't get busted out of the slot. It stays fastened. Flex on it, breaks. And you can take hold of it.
Sighting clause.
The four windows, and the windows weren't cheap.
That's what we call it, because the DNR will create a bureaucracy around us trying to stop us doing it.
So what lakes are these, what areas are these, rock and rubble?
Oh, that's just his talking points.
Oh, I see.
So it's based on our, collapse of the hatcheries up there. All the hatcheries, ever since 2015, they've known that all the hatcheries are producing as female fish. 80 to 100% are female fish. And they've been studying it. There was a study.
And if they're not producing any fish in the wild?
No.
These females?
No. So what's happening, this is a study that was done by the top two fishery biologists in the state. Mm-hmm. And they were looking for the reasons why the fish were turning basically all female. And what they did is they looked at a variety of different chemicals, and one of the things they looked at was they found real high levels of this. It's called norgesterol.
Oh, okay.
This is a male hormone. But I didn't know what norgesterol was. I looked it up and found out that it's commonly, like most often, it's combined with a strong estrogen, which is called ethinylestradiol.
Mm-hmm.
But as you can see, there's very little detected. What I found out is that these plastic liners that they put in the hatchery ponds that these extended length fingerlings are sitting in, that plastic liner,
they absorb the chemicals that are in that.
Yep,
plastic.
Exactly. The polyethylene is the highest, has the highest absorption of that strong female estrogen.
You shouldn't even be drinking out of those either.
So
plastic bottles.
I started looking at, is this a problem? There's 11 studies around the world, and estrogen contamination in the groundwater has been found in Canada, the US, Europe, and Australia.
Mm-hmm.
And there's 11 studies that.
some food.
I saw that, yeah.
He back got doped in too.
Yeah, because he had syringes.
Oh, rain.
Sorry.
Joy, I guess I'm back, but I can't. I got my, like, yes, in the flag, back there.
special day.
So the Japanese kind of came up with the concept of it. If you throw it on an Eagle rig or a drop shot or a flim rig, these ones, some float, some sink, and these are going to be solid up to make it so it's just really good.
I don't know what this is,
they say it works really good on pressured water where there's a lot of tournaments and a lot of fish in. It's just something different they haven't seen, or whether it's I speculate, oh, it looks like a little bait ball, or it looks like phytoplankton from when they were young, and that's what they ate. They just, like, remember, they ate
good that. Good afternoon, Wisconsin Fishing Expo attendees.
That one, I don't know where the came from.
You've got about 5 minutes to make it to the Sundowns area. Kenny Jackson will be starting
to spot pieces of cardboard.
The secret of when to fish.
It's up for a sign.
Yeah, I'm going to fish.